three of you sit on this amount, let's get the cubic over and sit here. Bob, you lead over, and I'm over, and no, generally, no, and down on the here. I'm happy you stay there now, you're on the other side next to your boss, your next boss. He's still has, and then I have to re-mention the picture of the booth tomorrow, he still has to get the boss in here.
Yeah.
Well, I had $170.
Raised totally hell. Mel and I, for example, whatever they're talking about.
little breathing, he's Mel's already had, but a little breathing. As we wear the stands and the potholes and everything this week, if that is what I'm gonna have, and then he'll leave that, and then he's mine. But Mel, maybe you should say we're about the importance of Jesus. Nothing has ever been done with Jesus on contingency before, but right now, why is it so important?
I don't think you need to be.
It's also important that I'm there.
The toughest thing is to keep the thing from getting out right now, because the congressional problem of the support of these things is very important. And if we put this out on the table, during this period of negotiations, it could really jeopardize the whole thing.
Well, for example, if we're going to expand the congressman, how much is it going to cost? How much money are we going to have for continued economic recovery and so forth? We all know that there's going to have to be a supplement of some sort right now, regardless of what happens. All right, we're talking about it at the moment, because we've got a problem. Now, let's move directly to Henry. And Henry, if you would hit the things that are really the substantive issues, but also, let me say this. I had a talk with General Westmore a month ago. He, just like General Abrams, having been through all this agony in Vietnam, wants the right kind of subject. He felt very strongly that there should be a total withdrawal of all North Vietnamese from South Vietnam as a condition, and that there could be no agreement on political settlement of any kind, which did not mean totally what President Chu had laid down. When I say he said that, he was only giving his best judgment, and I'd ask him to do that, and I understand. As all of you are aware, over the past 4 years, we've been keeping about much on our share in this country. The votes in the Senate and the Congress have become increasingly close as far as supporting funds. Public opinion-wise, we've been able to hold our own in the last election. Fortunately, in a situation where our opponents were offering a better settlement than we already had on the pot at the final, at the table as it finally came out on October the 8th. And our opponents were offering something that to all Americans appeared to be a total sellout and surrender. We just killed them because the American people have a mixed feeling about this. They want to end the war. The majority think we probably shouldn't have got into it at all. On the other hand, the American people don't like to lose, and when our opponents came out with an effect, what was basically a peace at the cost of humiliation, the American people said no, right now. That's where it's at. So now,
that's the white flag and that's all over.
That's right. Now, and including our internationals, now the problem is that we have, as of October 8th, reached certain agreements. Let me hit a couple of the political side by Henry, then you go into the specifics. On May 8th, I laid down three conditions for stopping the bombing of the mining. One, there had to be a ceasefire. Two, there had to be a return for all POWs and accounting for MIA. Three, as far as the political settlement is concerned, the people of South Vietnam should have the right to determine their future without having a communist government or a communist coalition government imposed upon them against their will. Those were the three conditions. The agreement of May of October 8th, which has since been somewhat improved, met those three conditions. And yet, out of sight, and frankly from some well-intentioned people here, we hear this kind of agreement is one that we should not accept. And I've been having some pretty hairy sessions with the South Vietnamese on this particular point. Let me say, we're now in this position where if the American people know what this agreement really is, and they find that we have an agreement in which our POWs will be there will be a ceasefire, in which there will be, in fact, President Chu will stay in office, and there's political gobbledygook with regard to committees of reconciliation. The government of South Vietnam retains its foreign policy, its domestic policy, and there will be no change of government without an election in which they participate, in other words, free election. If the American people see that, the American people, in my view, will never see a continuation of war in order to accomplish an objective of pushing them all out. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If it is, if we are all there, you've got to, we've really done very well the last 4 years in getting the kind of support we needed from our South Vietnamese.
Well, you see, the thing that I'm saying is this, that if President can go only so far, the Congress meets in January the 3rd, if the Congress cuts the bill, that military aid, economic aid, continued bombing and mining for purpose of continuing the war for a couple more years until the South North Vietnamese will make a marginally better deal. And it's questionable whether they would even that. That might be an option. It would be an option if we were a dictator. It's no option with the Congress.
Well, the South Vietnamese are so much better off than they were on May 8th. The proposal was made. It's just,
well, they would love a ceasefire on May
8th. Yeah, I bet. But,
but you see, now they don't want to. Well, having said that, I'm trying to lay the foundation for it. And before I enter here, I just wanted to say this I've got to put a system on. Mel, you, and with all the civilians, of course, you have some problems with civilians, but Admiral, you, everybody, every one of you, the chief, once we make this, if we make it, then the thing to do is to be proud of this man, up for it, and say, by God, we have not fought a thing, we have accomplished what we wanted. 70 million people lacking 5% were under DC control, a right to determine their own future, rather than pissing on it, frankly. That's really what we're getting down here. We'll have enough knocking of it from, strangely enough, the left, who have a vested interest in making it appear that the whole thing was fought for nothing. And so let's not have it from those who have given so much to bring us in. That's what I mean. This is a good deal. It's the best one we can get. It will be by the end of next week, the best we can get at this point. And it's one we're going to make, if we can. We don't know whether the North Vietnamese will come on. When that comes, then certainly from all over the defense establishment, particularly, there must be a strong, firm. I can take any kind of a deal. My God, after the Treaty of Versailles, everybody thought it should be rewritten, and so forth and so on. After the end of World War II, many people thought we hadn't, for example. It was a hell of a mistake to give the Russians everything they did. It was, but it was done, and so forth. Many people think we shouldn't have made the deal we did in Korea. Said, oh, we should have gone further. We were just grinding them down, and all of a sudden we have the troops, and we've got 50,000 Americans there. But it's done. Once the deal is made, then it's ours, and after all the sacrifice and the blood and the sweat and the tears we've gone through this war, let's be sure that we understand, we, particularly in the military, and I sort of myself, we in the military understand it's our deal for war and threat. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. And you know generally from this day and on, because he's bargaining. But if the North Vietnamese are starting to curl about a deal which basically is a cave in for them, when this thing is made, he should curl about it as well as an achievement for himself, particularly when he's got behind him this operative section deals with the ceasefire. And it just has the usual provisions that establish that now if it's a ceasefire, it goes into effect. And it prohibits reconnaissance flights over North Vietnam, permits reconnaissance flights over South Vietnam. And in the website, we had worked out a reconnaissance pattern over South Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and offshore, which gives us pretty good, coverage. It requires a 60-day withdrawal of U.S. forces. It permits civilian personnel, all economic civilian personnel, all civilian personnel associated with economic programs to stay there. And indeed, in its original draft, it also only required us to withdraw civilian personnel associated with paramilitary organizations, giving us a free run on the contractors and on the maintenance personnel. Now, since all these new stories appeared about how we're planning to use this, they had raised the demand that that personnel ought to be withdrawn too. That is maintenance personnel and supply personnel. We have not accepted it, and we don't plan to accept it. But that is one of the unsettled issues. As the proposal was originally drafted, it only required the withdrawal of American military personnel. And the only civilian personnel that had to be withdrawn were those associated with paramilitary organizations. It requires the dismantling of U.S. military bases. But we have fixed that, as you know, the demo of U.S. military bases to dismantle. Left to dismantle from South Vietnam, or the South Vietnamese, or the state of. So this is not a provision that will be executed. With respect to military supplies, there's a total prohibition against sending in reinforcements. That is to say, it is not possible to send in not only reinforcements, there's a total prohibition against sending in additional troops. This is a prohibition that doesn't apply to us. It does apply to us, but it doesn't affect us. What it does basically affect is North Vietnamese, which means the 2,000 Vietnamese party shall not accept the introduction of troops, military advisors, and military personnel into South Vietnam, and that is our position. In other words, a total ban on infiltration. There is a replacement provision by which all arms, munitions, and war material can be replaced on a 1-to-1 ratio. So we are starting at the plateau of Vietnamization of an army of 1.1 plus the $1 billion additional equipment that we've sent in the last 4 weeks, all of which can be replaced on a 1-to-1 ratio. If it's destroyed, damaged, worn out, or used up, one of my staff members said the only category we don't have in there is stolen. But, there's a piece of paper. No piece of paper would amount to worth a damn, in my opinion. It is worth a damn, frankly, with how long I'm not coming to the interest rate part of it. What really matters is, in the case of Iowa itself, Vietnam, is whether they are to continue to have the support, military, economic, and also the will to use power in the event that the agreement is broken, not just in letter of spirit. That's really what we're getting down to. And so that is why far more important than slight improvements in language here and there, everything, is that statement which we have made. The other point which should be made is this, this is the other side of the coin. Henry split over it quickly, but let's get to the point. Whether this thing resumes or not depends not just on the North Vietnamese, it depends on the Chinese, it depends on the Russians. Now, we can't get caught saying, well, we're going to bend the arm of the Chinese to the Russians to keep them from consulting their interests in this part of the world. But the very fact that we do have now a different relationship with the Chinese and a different relationship with the Russians, and the fact that they have other fish to fry with us, means that we have some opportunity to influence their actions in Vietnam. Do they want to risk, for example, everything that they have, the policy that they have in the world with us? Do the Russians, for example, want to risk the European Security Congress and so forth about Vietnam? Well, maybe. They got to think of that. And then this comes to North Vietnam, too. We are going to have some sort of economic assistance to the North. Some will say, well, that's a hell of a thing to help your enemies. Of course, we always help our enemies, even the most sensitive. The other point that I think is this. You're going to have a lot more influence on your enemies if you're helping them than if you're standing outside. Isn't that the way that what I'm trying to say is that we used to hear in law school that the only contract is I often told Ken Rush, Brian Bullock used to say this, Rhodes scholar. He said a contract is only as good as the will of the parties to keep it. Well, that's what a treaty is. That's what a piece of paper is. And what we are developing around, we're not only developing an agreement here, but we're developing a whole network of understandings. Nothing in writing. They would even deny it, they would deny it. We're talking to the Russians. We're talking to the Chinese. We hope to be talking to the North Vietnamese. And this is what will make this agreement stand for bail. Not what is in this damn piece of paper. I'd be quite glad to do it. I think it's important that all of you be able to understand. So if you go out, that you can say yes or something. Somebody raises this nitpick or that nitpick about, well, we don't like the fact that the Poles or the Japanese may not be the Indians. I hope they're not in it. I hope they aren't. But suppose if I don't like them on the international control group, first of all, the international control groups and so forth don't mean anything to them. The second point is, even if they did, what really matters is power, right? So let's understand, we're putting in all this gobbledygook because it'll give readings for experts in the Washington Post, your list of guard, the New York Times, and Time, and Newsweek, and Harris, Everett, and Hollywood, and all important, all this. It doesn't mean nothing. Henry knows the part where he had it all. Henry knows what it means, but Henry spent an hour negotiating it, which is important, but it's got to look as if it meant. See, what, this is what Q's concern is, in general. Q's concern is the cosmetics. He knows what matters. He knows what matters. But his concern is that the agreement read in such a way that it not be interpreted as being the position of the coalition government. That it not be interpreted as what that gives the North Vietnamese a right to have troops in the South. See, that's our problem. And
I'm sure the teacher points just to hear that we on our own could make.
Yes, sir. On your own. Absolutely. Except for the Russian and Chinese side.
Yes, sir.
The Russian and the Chinese side, I would simply say that, no, but I think you could make it this way. You could say, really what is involved here is whether or not the great powers, the Soviet Union, the United States, China, with their new relationship, may not want to cooperate and see that this does not break out again. And that's why the Soviet and Chinese issues are important. But never indicating that we have an understanding of either the Russians or the Chinese, because we don't have any understanding. said that, he said, he's one of the greatest things